shit. Y'all hear that beat? This is episode 3, baby. This is the Bib episode. We are here. I am him. He is I.
Dude, you gonna stop stealing my trademark, man.
We are here. Man. I got Miss Shaggy to my right. Say what's up to the people, Miss Shaggy.
What's up to the people?
Hey.
I'm grooving off this song. I got the
brew guru himself, Imani. Say what's up to the people, Imani.
What's up, family?
They are guests to the show. You listen to the first episode. You listen to the second. We are in the third. We got Jazzy D in the place to be. Say what's up to the people.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, with the nice voice on the mic. Say what's up. But you know, we got the guru of sound himself.
I'm not going to do it.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to do it.
Do it for the people, man.
No.
Ah, man. Say what's up to the people, though.
What's happening? How y'all doing?
And we got this bitch nigga to my left.
Damn.
Drew himself.
Hi.
And we are here. It is me. It is I. It is Big Los, a.k.a. Mr. Crop Circle himself, a.k.a. the fat nigga that like food, a.k.a. Black is beautiful.
Oh, okay. You paused. I didn't know what was happening.
I was a little nervous for a second.
Yeah, me too. I thought he was going to go off on a tangent.
Yeah, but I liked the way he finished that.
You did? Yeah, that was so dope. It was scary.
So, we are here for the episode. We have been drinking beers all day.
Oh, the grand finale. This is the third episode.
So, we're going to give our reviews on the beers. We're going to go through a round table. We're going to handle this as a
group discussion and all that jazz?
Absolutely.
Before we do.
Yeah.
We're now about to start drinking the only distillery a part of the Black is Beautiful movement. Miss Jasmine, one last time. Can you give us another rundown?
Absolutely. So, for the distillery that is coming in with our Black is Beautiful variant, we have McClintock Distilling in collaboration with Idiom Brewing Company coming from Frederick, Maryland. 40% ABV. Again,
you can taste every last 40% of it.
This is a whiskey. It's a spirit distilled with Imperial Stout infused with cocoa nibs, and it is contributing to the Maryland ACLU chapter.
Big Los, you tried it first, so go with the whiskey first and then give your top three of your bibs.
Beer. All right, so the whiskey is punchy right in the throat with the 40% ABV. I respect the fact that the distillery made the whiskey for Black Lives Matter. I respect that. Is it a whiskey that I pick up and buy? Not so much. A part of me feel like it has some caramel color in it. That kind of scares me a little bit when it comes to a whiskey, because that means they didn't age it as long as they're supposed to do when making the whiskey, right? I sound like a drunk when I said that, right? But
no, you don't.
But all in all, this is a I respect what they're trying to do, what they're trying to get behind. They might not necessarily have a brewery, but they have a distillery, so they want to get behind the movement and the cause of Black is Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Going forward, out of all the beers that we've tried, I'm gonna give you. So everybody's going around in this round table. We're gonna start off with the one that we really like. Then we're going to go into the middle road type of taste. And then we're going to go with the one that we did not like much at all, right? I will start off from the front. Other Side Brewing Company?
Other Half
Brewing Company. Jesus Christ. I've been drinking all day.
Fucking dare you.
I've been drinking all day.
Other Side is a whole different brewery.
Say less. but yeah, that phenomenal blend of the brew process would give you the strength of Black Lives Matter was my absolute favorite all the way through, right? It gives you the power, and you can taste the struggle of which we as Black individuals have went through in building this company, right? Then going forward, the Weather Soul Brewing Company is my middle of the road. They set the tone for everybody to follow suit. They were the first to do it, and I want to pay much respect to Marcus and everything that he's put through this whole process, right?
Thank you, Marcus.
Streetcar 82. I respect the attempt to get it done. I feel like y'all kind of missed the mark a little bit, but like I said, welcome to the Black is Beautiful kind of movement, and I appreciate everything that you guys are doing when it comes to the charity that you guys are donating to throughout the whole process. But yeah, those are my top three. Going from there. You want to go next, Shaggy?
Shaggy.
Of course, of course. So this whiskey is a lot, and I'm a whiskey drinker. It is super strong, and it just hangs out. It's very light in color, but I usually like to take shots of whiskey, but I'm scared to take a shot of this. So I'm just going to sip this one right here. As far as my beers, I'm going to do my top one, middle of the road, and my bottom, kind of like, you know, it was not my favorite. So I want to say Other Half is my top one because I feel like we all were just like losing our mind over the Other Half. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to skip that one and let you know that my other top one was a Fire Forest Tropical Stout that a lot of y'all didn't like, but it was like the peach thing, that there was no peaches, but it was tastes like peaches to me. It was probably my favorite one out of all. That's Fire Forest Tropical Stout, which was a 6.5. My middle of the road, for me, my middle of the road is actually Streetcar 82.
Wow.
It was just like, it kind of like a nothingness taste, but it was so easy to drink, and it wasn't too much of anything, but it also just wasn't horrible at all. So that's my middle of the road. Like I said, there is probably more beer in between my top and my middle, but that Streetcar 82, I had a whole crowler previously, and it was delicious. And it's just so easy to drink. I think that's probably why that's my middle of the road. My bottom one out of everything that we tried today was that cider stout. Because it was not for me. And that's weird because I like ciders and I like stouts. But together, it was just... I'm not even sure what it was, but it was just. There we go. That's me.
All right, so let's get on to this whiskey bottle right there. Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. I got it. 2 minutes, bro. I got you. The whiskey, I haven't really had hard liquor in a while, so it's a bit much for me. Is it good? I think it is actually good. So as far as my favorite bib. My favorite bib is The Answer. Mm. The Answer, it's The Answer. It's the best way I can describe it. My middle of the road would have to be Streetcar 82. It's exactly where it is. It's the middle of the road. Like I don't know, man. Something about it. It's not nasty or anything like that. But I'll say it's definitely for me if I want to just sit back and just drink something. My least favorite, Fire Forge. Mm. Couldn't do it.
Snarf.
Couldn't do it. Amani?
So I have to give a full confession that I'm pretty buzzed right now. I can let all the other hosts and guests, you know, do whatever they want to do, but I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little buzzed right now.
Go ahead.
So,
go ahead.
As far as whiskey, like, I'm not a very hard liquor kind of guy.
I understand.
So when it comes to, it was fine. Tasted fine. Tastes like everything else.
Oh,
I
you
had.
Did taste it's it.
Normally hard liquor wise. So I ain't mad at it at all. If I had to pick my top out of the bibs that we had today, Sankofa takes it just so far and away. It's not even much of a competition. Sankofa does well and I want to recognize Weathered Souls for their origination of this recipe. And I think that what's great about Sankofa is they took it a different direction and said, let me make a lager out of this.
Okay.
And create a black lager, which I thought was also just awesome. And then kind of midway, Abel Baker, which was interesting because when I first tried Abel Baker, it wasn't my favorite. But then as I had it this second time, the barrel aging really stands out. Mm-hmm. A lot of good barrel aging in there. A lot of raisin and whiskey, which I think was really interesting, and added to a certain level of complexity to the Abel Baker. My least favorite, kind of like some others have already mentioned, was the Trinity. You know, I think that all in all, if it was labeled as a sour, I probably would have been like, okay, I get that. and a sour would have worked very well.
Cider stout.
Right. And I think that, but I wouldn't necessarily classify it as a bad beer, but I'm just not sure it quite fit exactly what I was looking for or expecting when it gets to my lips, when it gets to my tongue. That's exactly what I was expecting.
Okay.
So. All right. So for me, I had a sip of Drew's whiskey because I was not pouring my own. It is a very sophisticated grown. It's a grown person's whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I'm gonna need some Coke or something to mix with. Not necessarily saying it's bad, but yeah,
you need a chaser.
I need a chaser.
Understood.
So for my top three, going into this, I have a fight between the Free House and the Answer. Mm-hmm. Because you see how much I bragged about the glitter in the Answer.
Yeah.
And then the uniqueness of Free House with the chili, cinnamon, and the coffee.
Okay.
That was one of, I want to say it might be the second Black is Beautiful that I've tried. And I fell in love with it. That's the one I've been bragging about the most. Middle of the road, I'll give you the White Lion Trillium with the pungent vanilla that came through. Mm. Again, I loved it because of the sweetness, but... You know, there's more to Black is Beautiful than just sweet.
True.
And then I'm going to give it to the rest of the panelists. I will have to say the Trinity Cider was not my favorite. Again, I'm more of an IPA drinker. And the fact that they labeled it as a cider stout, it came across as a cider. And it was not necessarily my style. I can't, you know, necessarily down it, you know, but again, it's not my style. So, unfortunately, it is my bottom one.
Okay.
All right.
So, on the last episode, as I got as emotional behind Other Half Brewing Company, this whiskey is like that uppercut to make you cry even more and, like, just think of, like, everything that's going on. This... whiskey is very pungent, strong, and it gives you a roundhouse kick to the face. Is the best way to say that.
Okay. I agree.
It's good, but in the same aspect, it's the only distillery that's doing this, which is big thing. So, like, whether it's trash or not, in the same aspect, respect them for being a part of the movie.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Exactly.
Give them that respect.
Not even that, being local in Maryland.
Local and
they're up in Frederick, you know what I mean?
That's big.
So getting to my list, right? My first one would be The Answer.
Hmm.
The Answer is the tits.
The Answer is the Answer.
So sorry. Like,
don't be sorry.
Like, that's the way I have to judge that beer. Oh my God.
It's that good though.
The tits.
It really is.
It really is a great beer. The glitter in the same aspect, you know me, the twinkle and all that stuff. But just the fact that it's a complex beer, I try to take into consideration what Brother Imani say about the water chemistry and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's all there. It's a very rounded, strong beer that really gives you what you need to know about this movement and this initiative. My middle of the road beer would be Streetcar 82.
Okay.
Once again, I'm not a very roasty person, so going to the actual recipe of Weathered Souls, and once again, to Brother Marcus and everything he's got going on, his recipe is dope. It's a little bit too much for me because it's too roasty for me. Mm-hmm. But the Streetcar Brewing Company out in Hyattsville, they toned it down. They toned the roast down just a little bit to the point to where it's enjoyable for me, and I'm like, okay,
I get that.
I can get down with this.
Yeah.
Right. And then my last end all be all. I don't want to say this in a bad way, like it's my worst one, but it's the fact that I feel the way that I do. I feel like it's an issue in the beer industry. I can't freely express myself where at a beer bar about these issues, which is Other Half. Everything that I drink behind that beer, I can't sit at a bar and say in a diverse area.
Mm.
You know what I mean? As much as I'm emotional in front of all of y'all, I would have to contain that and be constructive about that in a more open and public setting. Mm. And... in the same aspect, when it comes to the beer industry, I don't consider myself to be someone who's respected in the industry, but I've paid my dues, is how I feel. So for that, I should be able to talk about how I feel, what should happen and what shouldn't happen, or if not, be an influence to other breweries locally or people who's trying to come into the DMV area and be like, yo, this is what we're looking for as far as, you know, going inside with gentrification, because that's all it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So to say is my worst one, it's not my worst, but it's the one in that aspect. I won't be able to freely talk about that outside of this.
So
outside
only, of this room. So what you're saying is it's the reason why you put it in that category is basically because you feel like you can't drink it around.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like I would not be able, as emotional as I was, if I sat at a beer bar, that would not happen.
It may piss you off.
Unless it was around y'all.
It may piss you off.
No, it wouldn't piss me off.
No, no, I mean, because you can't express yourself.
I wouldn't be compelled to bring that to it, and I'll be like, all right, pen and paper, note, I'm typing on my phone.
Yeah.
Versus being open and freely about this conversation.
So, what? Yeah, so it's so good that, yeah, I get you.
So.
I get you.
That's me. Other than that, what are some issues? And let's get to a roundtable discussion while we get ready to close this out. What are some roundtable discussions that, you know, in the beer industry, not alone black beer industry, but the black industry, but the beer industry? What are things that you see? What are things just outside of the beer industry? Like, what is things that has to happen?
I think what needs to happen is there's a couple avenues. One which would be, as Mr. Marcus Bacteville had put, that there needs to be more people on the construction side and crafting of beers. I think there need to be more owned home brew shops. One of the challenges that I faced when I was looking at this Black is Beautiful campaign is someone who is a home brewer really wanted to get involved in this sort of passionate experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit hard to find, well, where did the home brewer fit within this this picture? Because I think there was pro brewers and people who own breweries.
Mm-hmm.
They had a kind of space for them. They provided a 5-gallon batch for home brewers. But being able to sign up as a home brewer, mm-hmm, to say, I want to do this and this is what I want to donate to, was a little bit difficult to navigate. That's not to say that they did not have any concern or concern for,
mm-hmm,
home brewers, but home brewers are also a part of this. And
absolutely,
as I mentioned to Mr. Baskerville earlier, that I thought it was interesting to see more and more people that I knew who were interested in home brewing to say, hey, I want to try this recipe because this is something I can get behind. So that for me was kind of a spot for me to say I would like to see more interest in home brewers who are willing to give their donations, because in home brewing, and this is not to take this off to another conversation, but home brewing incurs a lot of costs and just to some extent the same costs that pro brewers may take on,
mm-hmm,
but as a home brewer, these are really coming right out of your pocket.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if you're donating
very much
to a,
back.
Yeah, if you're donating to a place, you give them from your heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
at that point,
down,
yeah.
Yeah, you haven't sat down and put on your green visor and run the numbers to say, well, I can make this kind of money. So what me, Drew, and Jasmine did, and it's not to try to big up what we did, but what me, Drew, and Jasmine did is we donated $100 to an organization that, mm-hmm, was coming out of our pockets,
right,
our collective pockets, not necessarily a business's property.
And made the brew.
And made the brew. And put in the money for the ingredients and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to take this too far away because I know we're on a time constraint here.
But this is why Black is Beautiful.
But when we start to see more of us owning homebrew shops and owning breweries and being in control of the farming for malts and for hops,
right,
that's when we can start to see a lot of pieces. And I think that what Mr. Baskerville has done is to be able to start that conversation. And that's why, regardless of whatever happens with the donations from other breweries with regard to Black is Beautiful, that is something that I'm not sure he recognizes, but I want to make sure that he does recognize that there are others in this home brewing industry that have a passion for that, and that you're benefiting some of these other places, homebrew shops, individual home brewers, those things like that. So I'll stop there because I know time is money.
All right. Well, real quick.
So let's.
Shaggy, do you have any closing statements?
I kind of want to circle back because earlier in another episode, we were talking about Black is Beautiful being a bold statement and looking for a bold beer. And I personally don't think that it was, not saying it wasn't meant to be a bold statement, because the beer from Weather Souls is not bold. The statement itself is bold, but when I was coming in trying all the different beers, I wasn't looking for a bold beer. Maybe because of maybe a brewery that's used to making bold beers, like for instance Dogfish Head, and I was looking for a bold beer from them in particular. But overall, I was not looking for bold flavors in all the beers, especially knowing that base from Weather Soul was not like, you know, it wasn't anything too crazy. It wasn't like a lot of crazy flavors. So this Black is Beautiful statement itself is bold. I don't even care if you put water in a can and sold it with a label.
Got you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So to me, it wasn't about finding a bold beer at all. It was the statement, and I'm just so excited and thankful for Marcus for bringing this together, because, you know, I just didn't expect he probably didn't expect it. He's probably more shocked than I am, but it was just so beautiful to see how it grew. Like, I watched the numbers from 500 breweries on that website to 900 to, like, now over 1,000. It's just so beautiful. Because Black is beautiful.
It is.
But yeah, just back to that statement earlier, I knew we were talking that we were looking for bold beers. I was just looking. It's a bold statement overall, and I loved it. And this was so great. All the beers were amazing. Yes.
Sister Jasmine?
So, I cannot wait for this to catch fire the way that it needs to. So, not necessarily to get too personal, however, there is a particular beer, which I'm not going to mention because it is not Black is Beautiful, that we're trying to bring in for our wedding. And the alcohol manager that we were speaking to made it seem like, oh, well, you know, we're fine with the Heinekens. You know, we have the Heinekens. We have the Coors Light.
Miller
we have the Miller
Lights. Lights, yeah.
And he made it seem like he wasn't sure if the Black crowd that we're going to bring in was going to take part in the craft beer that we wanted to bring in. So of course Andrew, with his intellect and his vernacular,
I know we're going with this,
he made sure he let the alcohol manager know he knows what he's talking about, and the crowd that we're bringing in, they're craft beer lovers. So then of course he wanted to change his tone and be like, oh well, you know, maybe we can bring it from another county's venue to bring it in, which is sad that you have to kind of teach
they judge you.
They judge you because, of course, they think that all you want to know is your Miller Lights, your Heinekens, your Coronas. When there are minority people who do enjoy the craft beer.
And speaking of devil, you know, it's Boulevard to call him. I'm trying to bring in. It ain't no big-ass goddamn secret.
It's not easy.
But in the same aspect, I personally know the local rep because I used to work with him as a beer rep.
He knows the rep. He started speaking his language. And, of course, the guy then switches up and is like, oh, well, maybe we can bring it into such and such and we can bring it down to your venue. No, it shouldn't have to take it to that point for us to get what we want.
If I'm paying you, you give me what I want.
In that regard, he's like, well, we have other IPAs like 60 minute, 90 minute. I'm like,
not my problem.
Those are great beers, but I really want Boulevard to call it.
And you know, Black folks, if we don't get what we want, it will be in the parking lot.
I know.
It will be in the parking lot.
You hear me? But I know the rep. He's like, yo, I appreciate you reaching out. I know how much you loved this beer back in the day. Say no more. Tell me how many cases you want. Give me the account, address, phone number, the beverage director, his personal phone number, and you'll have it.
And not necessarily bring it off topic, but with Drew's name, he kind of paid both sides because it's not a Black name. It's not a Black name.
Yeah.
So he can kind of play both sides, but, you know.
All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and
Let's close up, Marcel.
Bring this bib to an end. So.
Last remarks, Marcel, and we'll do the roundtable.
I have no remarks. Everything you said was beautiful.
You want to go last, Drew? What's up?
I can go last, but in the same aspect, I just want to make sure that we all understand, like, this is a 3-part episode. This is dope. This is epic. Oh. Big thanks to Mr. Marcus out in Texas, everything he's got going on, for him starting this. This is what it needs to be, and it needs to transpire to more. Anybody that's a listener, a follower, a subscriber of our show, and want to get into craft beer, this is the movement that you need to be a part of as a black person. You need to support it. Anybody else, make sure that you hit up all these charities and make sure that they're getting their monies stated online from these breweries. I ain't saying that people are shiesty, but in the same aspect, you never know. Because some people may hop on the wave and be like, all right, this is a perfect cash cow to make sales, but they're not doing what they advertise. So from there, let's close it up. You can find me, Django underscore nerd, DJNGO_NERD, Twitter, Instagram, Untapped.
All right, for myself, Instagram, Twitter, Curls and Curves, CURLZNDCURVEZ.
Imani at decklife.brewlife, DECKLIFE.BREW, on Instagram. And then I'm Mr. Powell at Untapped.
All right. So I got a new friend on Untapped.
There you go.
I was about to say, get so fit. We want to introduce him.
Come on now.
I am the real Marcel.
Are you now?
IG, yes, I am. IG, Twitter, and Untapped. There we go.
Hi, I am Shaggy Drinks Beer on Instagram and Untapped, and I also run Black Craft Beer Lovers on Facebook.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Big Lowe's, aka Mr. Crop Circle himself. You can find me on IG at Big Lowe 703. That's BIGLOS 703. Then you can find me on Twitter. That's Lowe's JM Sense. I want to give a big shout out to Mr. Imani, the brew guru himself. And then Miss Shaggy for doing her thing on the Facebook and bringing everybody for the black beer groups together, right? Then I want to give a shout out to the videographers that have been doing the show with us. You can, their link is somewhere in between here, somewhere, and I'm gonna pass it over to Drew so he can finish out and close us out, baby.
Last but not least, don't worry about it. After this third episode, Big Los and Marcel will be in part of the Craft Black Beer Group on Facebook, probably after tonight. Anybody who wants to be a part of it after listening to the show, by all means, hit up Diapers and Haircuts, and we can forward you into it. And then from there, if you want to follow Diapers and Haircuts podcast, DNH Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything over 140 characters, email us at DNHpodcast2019@gmail.com. We appreciate everybody being here, a part of this movement, subscribing, liking, and being a part of this 3-part episode. Black is beautiful. Hands up, everybody. We appreciate everybody. Peace, love, and crop circles.
Do it one time for me.
Yee,
yee. Yeah, yeah.
Thank y'all so much. Yeah.